Nobody really want fuego. Masayo will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego, your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Masayo ain't playing no wagos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Event with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or banish the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself when that fuego come. You don't wanna get left. Forsake your sin so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath. Or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. For the one that's super dead. Fuegos really don't want fuego. Fuegos really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. For the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
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 Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour, Native Latin and Black Biblical Topics. I am Captain Yahshua.
Shalom. Happy Sabbath, Captain Amariah.
Shalom. Soldier Hezekiah.
All right. All praises. Lord's will, Captain Aparim will be joining us shortly. We were traveling in L.A. last week, had some major...
The City of Angels.
Major technical difficulties, so the show was not able to go on. We're going to continue on with our series on socialization and discussing the peer groups and the self and so on and so forth. So good trip to L.A., though, right? It's always good to see the brothers there. I would have been excited. I like their setup. I would have been excited to do it with their setup.
No, that would have been good. It is
what it is. We're back. So we've been talking about what sociology calls agents of socialization, right? And we've been talking about the self as well. And let me pull up the agents of socialization piece, and we'll just recap that real quick, all right? So we've been talking about agents. We're going to finish up with the peer group aspect. We're going to talk about that a little more. And then I think what's up next, like I said, I'm probably going to say family last, even though it is one of the more important ones. I think mass media and technology, that might be several parts.
Absolutely.
Because just the nature of what that is. So after peer groups is going to come, mass media and technology, right? And then we're going to have workplace, we're going to have religion and state. So I'm going to save the most important one, which is family, for last. So agents of socialization, we're going to read that real quick here. So it says, as we have seen, the culture of the United States is defined by rather gradual movements from one stage of socialization to the next. So there's a route that is taken in socialization, right? And it starts with family and it starts with home. But being that that's so comprehensive, the scripture has so much to say about family. I mean, it has a lot to say about mass media and technology in different ways, not in a direct way that you would imagine. You know, it's not going to talk about iPhones and the media and things like that.
Right.
But
Android versus iPhone.
Android versus iPhone, that sort of stuff, right? But so it has a ton to say about family. So we will speak of that at some point. But the key thing here is that you have to understand, it says you move from one stage of socialization to another. So there's a process that happens here. And what happens is some of these stages of socialization permeate. School is not permanent because at some point you stop being in school,
mm-hmm.
right? The workplace is not permanent because it depends, right? Your job may change. It's not the same career. Religion is not permanent, because that changes. Neither is the state, really, because look at the cult of personality now under, you know, Trump and everything that's going on, the D Wades of the world and everything else that's happening, right?
He said the D Wades of the world.
Right. So because, there's just the state dealing with kind of what's acceptable and what's not, you know, as far as those type of behaviors. So it says the continuing and lifelong socialization process involves many different social forces that influence our lives and alter our self-images. So you have to understand that these are forces that are acted upon us. And, you know, what are they saying? Like physics, you know, any force will get an opposite and, you know,
That's the whole key about what you just said, because you said it's forces that are forced upon us, right? Mm-hmm. Things are forced upon us. It's not your educating yourself because now you're being more, you know, aware of what's going on. It's the fact that there's so much outside influence that's forcing you to say, okay, this is what's right, this is what's wrong, this is what's acceptable, that you're taking it on, even though you know deep down inside that it's wrong.
Right. Right.
That's exactly what D-Way had said, remember, in that interview.
Yeah. No, and the fact that that's a good point you bring out, because people would think that they're okay, right, and that yeah, well, I know that that's like that, but it's not going to affect me.
Right.
When something is a force on you, there's not much you can do, right, because it's ever going to be present, right? So it tells you here, it's a continuing and lifelong socialization process, and it involves many different social forces that influence our lives and alter our self-images.
Hmm.
So the point that I want to get to, and let's get that in Micah, where it talks about, because this is not your rest because it's polluted, right, is that being that it's a social force that's acting on you, when something is polluted, it's going to impact you, whether you realize it or not. Yeah. It affects you all the time, right? It affects you all the time. So it says the family is the most important agent of socialization. Did y'all get it? The family is the most important agent of socialization. All right. I think it's 2 and 10. All right. But we're going to save that one for last, right? It says especially for children, because in their formative years, this is who they wind up looking up to, right? Your parents are the center of the universe, right? And I'm going to read this scripture in Micah, and just about every show we're going to come back and remind everybody about what the ages of socialization are, but especially because we're going to work on wrapping up the peer group today, I want us to understand how it moves across, all right, how it moves across. So let's read that real quick.
The book of Micah 2, verse 10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted, and it shall destroy you even with a sore destruction.
That pollution is that social force that influences us. Because as you read, it says it's the culture of the United States that we're speaking about, right? Sociology is going to be done from that perspective. You know, if you were in another country, there's cultural norms and different things that are done there. But even then, the United States influence reaches internationally, right? That goes into a lot of the prophecies about, you know, the harlot that sits on many waters, so on and so forth. So,
I just got a text that like kind of threw me off. But it says the continuing and lifelong socialization involves many different social forces. All right, I should have turned my text on, bro. It was crazy. You're gonna see.
Yeah.
The captain's gotta talk about it. It's not something for Phoenix.
I was gonna say what's strange about this place is whatever sin you're in America is out there for you. You know.
Well, that's what's so heavy about this scripture is that Micah has to reiterate to us. Listen, a gift destroys the heart.
Right.
Whatever lust that you have so deeply embedded in you, you can have that outwardly manifest here in Babylon the Great, because there's many, many, many things that our people are into, mm-hmm. and here it's just accepted.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's the pollution that it's talking about. And this is why he says, listen, you can't rest here because this place is polluted. So letting you know that these agents of socialization, the way you're going to be socialized by the culture of America, of the United States, it says it will destroy you even with a sword destruction.
Right.
So it's not the right way. Case in point, let's talk about Dwayne Wade a little bit, because that's been in the media, right? That's been heavy. Everybody can say their piece on this, but I want to just point out how this holds true, what we've been going over, socialization. Because we read that it says
the most important in the United States, especially for children, is the family, right? And then it says, in this chapter, we'll also discuss six other agents: the school, the peer group, the mass media and technology, the workplace, religion, and the state. And we'll explore the role of religion in socializing young people into society's norms and values more fully, right? So religion has a whole chapter on it.
Oh, I bet.
So yeah, that's another one that we'll probably spend a lot of time on, so that you can understand how religions are a device, right? But going back to this thing with D. Wade and what I just read here, right? And if you don't know what I mean by D. Wade, I'm talking about Dwayne Wade. Is he retired now?
Yes.
Okay, all right. But he made his notoriety with the Miami Heat. They won several championships there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a top draft pick, you know, a talented basketball player.
Gold medalist.
Yeah, Olympian. Yeah, all that stuff, right? A lot of might be considered a great man in society,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the scripture talks about not many mighty, not many noble
right.
are called. And the way the socialization is structured, look at a case with his kids. So what's happening with his child? What is it? His boy's 12 now?
Yes, 12.
All right. And his name is Zion, right?
Yes.
That's his given name, Zion, right?
Wow.
That's what's
yes.
on his birth certificate. Okay.
Wow.
Right? So that makes it like more like...
Right.
Right.
Like, you know something.
Well, more offensive,
yeah, yeah, right?
Because now it's now what is the boy?
Zaya.
Zaya. So now the boy wants to be called Zaya.
Wow.
Is that Hebrew?
Zaya?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know. But I will look into it. Now.
Yeah, you should look it up and see, because it makes me wonder, like, how insulting that is even more if that's the case, right?
Right.
Anyway, so the point that I'm making is that the family, especially for children, being the most important part, there was a point that was made that he's not supporting his son, he's enabling his son. And I have videos on it, and there's a fine line between that, right? So I got to look up the definition of enable real quick so that we can share that and we can understand what the difference is, right?
Right.
Enable.
No, it's not Hebrew. Yeah, it's not Hebrew. But it means victorious woman, though.
Godly. Okay, but what does Zion mean? So let's put that. Let's show the powerfulness of Zion, right? So pull that up in a second. So enable. I want to look up the definition of enable. You must understand that to enable is to give someone or something the authority or means to do something. As parents, right? Biblically, the scripture teaches us that we're basically their shield, their guide, their teachers, their primary teachers, right?
Right.
And this is why family is so important as an agent of socialization in the formative years, right? So it says to authorize, sanction, warrant, license, qualify, allow. So when you enable somebody, it's that you're allowing a behavior. And like we read in Micah, this place is polluted. So if you're going to enforce things that are contrary to the scriptures and authorize your children to do them, meaning give them permission, right, trimming your ways to seek love, the scripture calls it, then you're enabling versus support, right? And I'm going to tell you something. We're talking about everything biblically, because you're going to have people who are going to have different views. And listen, if you don't have a belief in the Bible – the way the gospel is supposed to be delivered, right? There's one gospel, one Christ, one Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's not a discussion to be had with you. Give the Bible any type of authority. But
right.
us being faithful and knowing that this is the supreme authority, right? This is the type of behaviors that we need to support, not the culture of the United States. And to support something, right, is to hold up, right? To carry, to keep up, to give assistance to, right? Let me look at the other definition. Sometimes those Google definitions don't give the same punch. Hey, I like this one. To endure bravely or quietly. To endure bravely. Because, right, the world tells you it's okay to identify yourself as a girl if you're a boy, vice versa, as emotionality. You have to stand boldly. You have to stand manfully for what these scriptures tell you.
That's what it says in 2nd Ezra.
Right.
These are they that stood boldly
right.
for the name of God.
Let's bring that out. Right. Let's bring that out, because that's the difference between support and enabling when we're speaking biblically. Right? And we're always going to make that biblical point. We're always going to make that biblical point. So it says to endure bravely, all right, to bear it, to assist, to help,
right, to hold up, to serve as a foundation for. So this thing that's going on with D. Wade and his son, who now he says from three,
right.
His son knew he was a boy. Hey, somebody posted something hilarious. Was it the captain's group? And it said it was one of the groups. And it's from the internet. And it says D-Way's son said that from three he knew he was a girl.
Right.
He said my son from three thinks he's Spider-Man. So you know,
right,
should we roll with that?
Right.
Somebody put something funny. He said, hey, just don't cut his web slingers.
Right.
You know, like alluding to the sex change operation.
Right.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you something. That's what you're gonna see next. Cause he got money.
Right.
He got money, so he gonna pay for that operation.
You know what you're going to see next? They're setting us up because they always do. Shalom, everybody. Most High Christ. You're going to see a gay president. They're setting us up.
Oh, with
how they always did it. When Obama was going to come in into presidency, they had him speak at the Democratic Convention.
Yeah. Right.
It's all part of what we've been talking about, agent of socialization, man. They start pre-training your brain to accept.
Yeah, because now you're not the first lady. Things. Now his husband is the first gentleman. But
right.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what unfolds.
Right. Well, it ain't gonna happen with this guy. Yeah, but I'm saying he's being presented.
And you might see the gay guy before the woman as a president.
That's right. Good point.
You might see that before
good
the woman,
point.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the powers that be or whatever. But you're right because and what you're saying makes sense. It's probably not gonna be this guy.
No.
But this guy was softened. This was the litmus test.
Right.
To see how deep a candidate like this could go, because Rush Limbaugh, right, for as much as a bigot as he is, he actually made some pretty good points, and he says I don't think people are ready to see him, you know, kissing his husband like that nationally and stuff like that.
Right.
So there's still enough of a line where people may not want to bring that forth, right? But you'll probably see it sooner than later, and this was a way to kind of soften people up for it. Yeah, because I remember what you were saying when. They were talking about Obama, I think, when Bush was getting his second term, and they were already kind of proffering him up as like the prodigy.
This is the future
and all that stuff like that.
That's how they do it.
So you're gonna see that same thing with this gay guy that they got here, and he may not even be the one that eventually, you know,
becomes a president.
But it's to start to put that out there,
and that
goes back to this socialization. That's how they socialize you. They don't hit you all at once with it.
Mm-hmm.
They do it in subtle ways.
Right.
They do it in subtle ways. So here's the thing that I want to show you, though, right? I don't want to lose the thought here. That text threw me off real big time. But read that scripture real quick if you got that, right? Because
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. Then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him, and made no account of his labors.
Right. So we have to stand in great boldness against those that afflict us. And let me tell you something. The affliction is not just slavery. Something like this and what you're seeing with this changing of genders, which is ungodly, which is unholy. All right. It don't matter that science can do something like that. Because remember, the scripture says oppositions of science, falsely so-called.
Right.
Oppositions, meaning when it opposes everything that's holy and just and good. These people that go through these changes, no matter how much, take them off their hormones and see if they'll be with a deep voice and a beard. That's like the bearded lady when you would go to the carnivals and stuff like that, right? So everything that they have to do, see, God, he'll make you a man and you're a man for the rest of your life.
Right.
He'll make you a woman and you're a woman the rest of your life. Esau, right, and it starts with them and everybody that's confederate with them, can do the change and they can do all that. But if they don't continue to pump you with the drugs, they don't continue to try to make you believe a lie, because that's what's happening. They want a lie told often enough becomes the truth so that you can call Bob Betty. You know what I'm saying? You can call
Paul Paula.
You can call Zion Zaya.
Right.
It's the Most High thing is above anything with that science. Right. So this is an opposition of science because it's an abomination to change your sex,
right?
So the family supporting that, enabling that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Enabling that behavior, allowing that behavior shows you how critical, right? Because that could have stopped there at 3 years old. Because the point is, at 3 years, what the hell do you know at 3 years old?
Right.
My son comes to me and he says he's Blaze sometimes. Blaze is a talking car.
Right. So if he comes and he tells me one day that he's a girl, I'm supposed to be like, oh, this means this is what he was supposed to be.
Right.
Right. And then the school system now, because they've desensitized us to it, they've socialized us to it. So now his son was getting that influence in the school system. Right. And then he's up there with the wealthy, the upper echelon, that upper elite, where stuff like that is extreme and normal and acceptable. Right. And then now he's at the age where the peer group comes and starts to take. So you see how it's told us that you move gradually from one stage of socialization to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere along this line, that could have been stopped in that child.
Right.
Still can be stopped in that child.
Right.
But instead, they're supporting and enabling it. So it goes to show you the influence of all those agents. And we didn't even – we're not talking about mass media and everything else yet, right?
Right.
But – mass media pushes it. Technology pushes it. The workplace pushes it. The only place where it's still somewhat of a safe haven is religion. But you're going to see that change too, because you got places like that basically. And the only way you do that is if you alter the Bible, take it away, or don't make your religion Bible based.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like kind of like Kanye's thing. They call that a religion. It's not Bible based.
Right.
It's not a Bible based religion. And for it to be Bible based, it has to be what the scriptures say. Right. You got something you want to bring up? I see you looking there.
No, you're good.
Right. So the agents of socialization. So now we move into the peer group. All right. The peer group. So let me get this here. I wanted to talk about the one that talks about the self. Hold on. We're going to hit that back in a minute, and then we're going to touch the peer group.
It's just crazy because at 12, you're not even legally old enough to drive yet.
Right.
You're not even old enough to work to make a means for yourself. But yet you can make the life-changing decision to mutilate your genitals and change your sex.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. Hey, my wife made a good point. She was telling me how she goes, I don't know, man. I get a feeling like their marriage is like a sham marriage. Like he's really gay.
Hmm.
And like, you know, that's just an arrangement that they have to make it look like they're okay. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right,
but
right.
I mean, yeah, it's just so much confusion that even has to be for us to consider something like that,
right?
It goes to show you the confusion. That goes back to Michael with the pollution. That's why it says it will destroy you, because those things are a sin.
Right.
Those things are a sin. All right. Let's talk about the self real quick. All right. And then I want to pull up the one in Romans 1 about the natural use and all that stuff. All right. Because we got to point that out. Well, not everybody's going to understand that's sinful. So we have to make sure that we show them how it's not just the homosexuality, but I like when it says the natural use, because that goes under the transgender.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible covers everything. And that's in the New Testament on top of it. Right.
You know why that's important that you go in there? Because this thought was in my mind. Because some people may say, oh, well, back then.
Right.
Okay, right? Back then, right? Oh, well, back then, because that's what we hear, right? Oh, well, that was back then, right? When they're rebellious, that's one of the excuses. That was back then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guess what? Back then, if they had the technology to do it, to change themselves, they would have done it.
Right.
They didn't have the technology back then.
Hey, you're right, because it says they were burned in their lust.
They were, right.
So if the ability was there, they'd have done it back then.
Right. So what I'm saying is that there's nothing new under the sun, people. It was a sin back then. It's a sin now. It's not natural. And this is the New Testament where captains go.
Right, right. So bring that out. Let's read that.
Romans 1:25.
The book of Romans 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie? And worship and serve the creature more than the creator.
Right. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator? Gosh, I hate when I'm looking for something and it's like auto telling me something. I hate when it does that. Gosh.
You're like, listen, I know what I want. All
right.
Good. Yeah, no, it kind of like forces you to spell stuff wrong.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Go ahead. Read it again.
Romans 1:25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator?
Right. It says who worshiped and changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. The creature is dealing with all these agents of socialization.
Mm-hmm.
The creature is the culture of whatever society is the ruling power at that time. That's worshiping the creature, the worship of the self above all. And if you really think about it, that's what that goes into, because we're talking about the self and socialization. What you want to be, who you want to be, how you want to feel, right?
Right.
Come on, read.
who is blessed forever.
And give
Amen.
Me Wisdom 14:26 too, because the scripture does deal with transgender. They call it changing of kind. Go ahead, read this.
Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up into a vile affection.
For this cause God gave them up into vile affection, because that goes into the predestination, so on and so forth. So it says, okay, you want to play with that stuff? I'll give you up into that vile affection. Come on.
For this cause God gave up into vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use unto which is against nature.
Which is against nature. So the immediate effect of this is dealing with the homosexuality, right? Because what is the nature of a female?
Right.
To receive the seed and bear the child, so the child is nourished in her womb.
Right.
What is the nature of the man? To give the seed and pass the seed along, right? That is the normal flow and ebb and course of things. Be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
And not with necessarily with these, because they'll tell you, oh, well, they'll do the whole thing. I mean, they'll do it with surrogates now. So that's the way, like, you'll have a gay couple that'll do it or something like that,
right?
But it's still not, right? You're it's somebody else's seed. It takes the two together to bring that spirit together, right? Again, this is how you get so much confusion, because if two gay guys want to have a kid, then whose semen is it going to be that goes in the other person's egg?
Right.
So it's not really your son. That's not really your seed.
Right.
And then who's this other woman that donated her egg and carried the baby for you? And the same thing with a woman. Whose seed then are you bringing into that? It's confusion. It's abomination as that stuff happens.
It really
so
is.
It says even the women did change their natural use trying to become men.
Right. It says natural use, right?
Mm-hmm.
There. Okay, natural, because sometimes, Cap, you got to get basic. Sometimes you got to get so basic, right, to destroy the wickedness, right? Natural means nature comes from the root word natural.
Right.
Right.
Okay, which means it's normal.
Right.
So cutting your penis off, okay, is not natural.
Not natural.
All right, because you were born natural.
Right.
You were born the way the semen and the chromosomes decided. But more importantly, the Most High God decided for you to be born. Right? You got to put that in there, right? Because right away they'll start saying, "Oh, well, you see the, you know, say natural."
Even it's natural in nature to bring up a child. You know, to raise them up. You got to raise them up as a son being a son. You know, a boy, a girl being a girl. You know,
right.
You got to bring them up that way.
If it wasn't natural, why do they got? If what they're doing is natural, why do they got to go through all these steps? And at the end of the day, Captain brought it up. It still goes back to the seed of the man.
Right.
It still goes back to the seed of the man. So how is that natural?
Right.
At the end of the day.
Right.
You know, stop. You're forcing something,
right,
you know, that, guess what, makes no sense.
Right.
It makes no natural sense.
Right, exactly.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep talking.
Okay. So, you know, their argument holds no water.
No water at all, right?
No, right. Watch. Read verse 26 again. Romans 1, verse 26.
26. For this cause God gave them up into a vile affection.
So for the cause of worshiping and serving the creature more than the creator, God gave us up into a vile affection. He says that when a man wants to be a woman and vice versa, that's vile.
That's a good point, sir.
He says that's a vile affection. And why? Because now, rather than holding this as the supreme authority in the earth, now, because we have that lust that's so deep within us, and the white man says, hey, you can do this and you can do that. Okay, so he's seen as God now.
Right.
That's true, but check it out. What does it say there? Read it again.
For this cause, God gave them up. And
Wait. What did God do?
God gave them up.
He said, you know what? You want to go against Ecclesiastes 7:26, where it clearly says that man was made upright?
Right.
You want to go against Leviticus 18, where it says man should not lie, or was it Leviticus 23?
Mm-hmm.
That the punishment of death is your sacrifice, both male that slept together or both females that slept together.
Right.
They both, back in the Old Testament, were commanded to die.
Right.
So he said, y'all want to do that? He's allowing it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He gave them up to vile affection because you, okay, obviously are rebellious.
Right.
And as a result, check this out, as a result of giving them up, so some may say, oh, but you see, well, God accepts it. No.
He said, no.
HIV.
Right.
The HIV.
Syphilis.
The HIV.
Right.
Gonorrhea.
Right.
Right.
Or maybe he lets you get run over by a bus.
Right. Or maybe you get. Yeah.
Right.
You get. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's real. Right.
I was going to say something. Right. Yeah, because that's the irony of stuff. That's how the Most High works.
All right. Hold what you got. Get me Wisdom 14, but I want you to start. Actually, read what I told you first, 26, and then we're going to jump up. All right.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 14, verse 26. Disquieting of good men, forgetfulness of good turns, defiling of souls, changing of kind.
Changing of kind. Changing of kind. That's changing the use, and that's trying to change from a male to a female. The scripture calls that changing of kind. All right? It says you defile your soul this way. These are the pollutions that we read about in Micah, that it says it would destroy your soul. These are the pollutions. Read on. Finish that verse.
Disorder in marriages, adultery, and shameless uncleanness.
Right? And we'll come back to verse 27 now. I want you to read the part where it says worship the creature, right? So read that verse again. And then, Cap, read for me 14 and 20.
Okay. Romans 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator?
Now remember, I said the creature is that self. The creature is man, all right? The creature goes into, if you think about it, it's just really the worship of Edom, right? Because that's really where all this stuff stems from. Because we have our own culture and identity, but then they push this. They push this as a crafty device. They push this as an agent of socialization. They push this as a force to defile us. To break down, we went over the importance of the marriage structure and the household structure being what builds a strong nation, and that's the divinity of the Most High, right? It was one of the first things he ordained between his creation,
mm-hmm,
was marriage, and then to go ahead and have children from it between a man and a woman, right? And it says they worshiped and served the creature. Come on, read it again.
Who worship and serve the creature more than their creator.
More than God. Now, read Wisdom of Solomon 14 and 20.
Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 14, verse 20. And so the multitude, allured by the grace of the work, took him now for a god, which a little before was but honored as a man.
Right. Now, obviously, when this goes into imagery, we're talking about the image of Caesar Borgia in this. But it all kind of goes together, all right, with the way the scripture has multiple meanings, all right? It says this, something becomes a god to you when you do that above what God commands.
Right.
Which then becomes idolatry. And we too often think of idolatry in its simplest form, which is, I'm going to worship this cup.
Right.
This cup is my god. I'm going to pray to this cup. I'm going to light things to this cup and whatever. Right. And that's because it's we're putting it onto something. We impart it onto stones or rocks or whatever it is. Right. As we're going to read on and you'll see. But the point is, when it talks about worship the creature, right, this goes into the other scripture where it talks about lovers of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
All right. More than lovers of God. And it says he was but honored as a man. But now he's pilfered up as a god. Because anytime they say this is okay and this is the new norm, everybody follows after that. That's is right. That not a godlike power?
That's right. Yeah.
That's a godlike authority for the masses to worship that as a god. Read verse 21.
And this was an occasion to deceive the world.
And this was an occasion to deceive the world. This is a pollution that destroys souls. And it again, these are all the agents of socialization. They've broken them down into categories.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we have an Air Force, you have a Navy, you have the Marines, you have the Army, right?
You have a Space Force.
You have a Space Force now. But you know how they. The MO for when they go in, right? You'll send the Marines in to recon.
Right.
Let's get the intel that we need. These are the soft targets. Now we send the Navy in to create a blockade. Right. And they can launch their missiles on these soft targets. And we're going to throw the airstrikes to blanket and bomb these things. Now, once all that's been done to our satisfaction, if they've not given up, now send in the Army and the Marines as ground troops to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same strategy. And they use it through the family, through the school, through the peer groups being one of the most strongest and constant outside of school and family, because the peer groups will stay with you from your teenage years,
mm-hmm,
all the way through to your being an adult. They say, you show me your 10 closest friends, I'll show you who you are. That's the influence of the peer group. And it says this was an occasion to deceive the world. Come on.
for men serving either calamity.
That's confusion. Either serving confusion. Come on.
Or tyranny.
Or tyranny. Come on.
Did ascribe unto stones and stocks the incommunicable name.
Right. And you do this subtly, because when you discredit this Bible, and you say that no, what the culture of the United States is above this, when you look for reasons and excuses to take out what we read in Romans 1, to take out what we read in 14, Wisdom of Solomon 14:26 about changing of kinds, mm-hmm. then what you're doing is you're saying that this stuff is God, right? So come on, read on.
Verse 22, moreover, this was not enough for them, that they erred in the knowledge of God.
This was not enough for those Psalms 83, that confederacy that was against us. They didn't just want us to err in the knowledge of God. Come on.
But whereas they lived in the great war of ignorance.
They want to keep and suppress this truth. And they do that by professing us to be a hate group, by putting things out there to make people suspicious and leery of us. Documentaries about the whole organization's bad. If you have one or two people in there, that something might have happened. Anything to detract you, because they want you not just to earn the knowledge of God, but they want you to live, because it's been a war of ignorance on our people. Mm-hmm. Ignorance has been our demise. Ignorance has been our destruction. Come on, read.
Though so great plagues, called they peace.
It's just love, everybody. Christianity's biggest thing is love. What we need is love. They says, those so great plagues, the Most High calls those things, those agents of socialization, the culture of the world, transgender agenda, the Sodom agenda, those are plagues to let us live on in ignorance, right? Come on, read.
Say this right. Well.
For
whilst they slew their children in sacrifices or used secret ceremonies.
Now, ancient times, this is speaking specifically, right? Mm-hmm. They slew them in sacrifices or used secret ceremonies. You're sacrificing your children when you let them to mutilate themselves and go on to be in this transgender stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're sacrificing them to the god of Edom, to the idol, when you say that it's above God. You're sacrificing their soul. Remember, it said it's the destroying of your soul. It's the defiling of your soul, right? Come on, read.
Or made revelings of strange rites. They kept neither lives nor marriages any longer undefiled.
Revelings of strange rites. You have these different parties and festivals that they do. Right. Damn, somebody was telling me something the other day. My wife was telling me that she gets so frustrated with her job in this one aspect, because she says the gay people, because a job is very protective of whatever your rights and stuff are,
mm-hmm.
right? So they say. Right. But my wife uses wisdom, and she says, no, my wife doesn't even want to put a picture of me in her office, because maybe someone would recognize me from the teaching.
Yeah.
And it would create trouble for her at the job, because as much as they say religious freedom and everything like that, they might say something. And she says the gay people, they're out there, they have their cliques, they're doing their rainbow stuff, and we gotta swallow that. And she goes, and here I have to be mindful that, make sure that, my fringes aren't too flamboyant, right? That it brings undue attention to me, or she's trying to deal with wisdom there, right? And I don't want to say too much more based on where she's working now, but It would be problematic if somebody started looking into what that meant.
Yeah, absolutely.
At her job, yeah. Right? And you understand that your wife's gonna start working there as
right.
well too. So she wears her fringes, she does what she has to do, but she goes, it gets me angry, it vexes my spirit that they can be so flamboyant with this, but we gotta, it's anti-Semitic that we say that they stole our heritage, right? Freedom of speech until we say we're Israelites.
Right. No, absolutely, right. 100%.
Right.
You done with that?
No, hold on. Okay. I'll let you go right after this. Let me finish this.
Okay, no, I didn't know you were done.
No, I, you know what? I feel I heard you going through all the pain. I know you're ready. I know you. Hold it. Don't lose your thought, all right? We might get the rant today. All right? Go ahead. Read on.
They kept neither lives nor marriages any longer undefiled.
They kept neither lives nor marriages. So, yes, that goes into adultery and everything else. Defile marriages by trying to say it's a marriage between man and man, between woman and woman. Between what was a female and what was a man. I mean, it's madness. It's calamity. Come on.
But either one show another.
Either one slew another.
But either one slew another traitorously. or grieved him by adultery.
Right, because they're breaking down the family structure, which is the most important, right? Come on.
So that there reigns in all men without exception blood.
This is what reigns in all men without exception. Blood.
Manslaughter.
Manslaughter.
Theft.
Uh-huh.
And dissimulation.
Come on.
Corruption. Unfaithfulness. Tumults. Perjury.
Come on.
Disquieting of good men. Forgetfulness of good turns. Defiling of souls. Changing of kind. Disorder in marriages. Adultery. And shameless uncleanness.
All these things are a result of that stuff. All right. This is what reigns in men if you follow the self that the United States wants to push on you, that the world wants to push on you. Read verse 27.
For the worshiping of idols, not to be named, is the beginning, the cause, and the end of all evil.
It's idolatry. It's worshiping the creature more than God. So it's telling you that that's a form of idolatry. It's a form of worship to subscribe and abide by those things. And the reason we're bringing out this is because we want you to know how cunning, how clever it is. Like I gave the example of the way the war is set up and how they'll do these different levels to soften up the enemy. This is the same steps with the agents of socialization. And we've yet to really get into the mass media and everything else. They start with the family, I hate to use this because it's an idolatrous type of thing, but it would kind of look like the yin and yang if you did it this way. They don't really necessarily remember. I said some of them are a consistent acting force in some of the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So how does the family get corrupted? It gets corrupted through the school, the peer group, the mass media, religion, the workplace, the state. Right. And then what happens? That comes right back around in this circle and it pushes it back on to the family again. And then now you start to condition your children. It's the ignorance. The great war now becomes ignorance of your true identity and what really needs to be done and what we need to do to fight against it. And that's why, like you brought out earlier, Michael was saying, remind you, like, hey, this ain't your rest. This place is polluted. You can't get comfortable in this stuff. It's a force that we need to be aware of. But like I said, they got like a saying in science where they says any force is going to have an opposite and equal force reacting on it. And our opposite and equal force reacting to it should be the scriptures and how we push back against that. And that's what we aim to do. Go ahead, Cap.
Cap, if you may please get me Deuteronomy 14 and 2 and get me Hezekiah, Isaiah 1 and 9. So here's what you have to understand, brothers and sisters. Blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans. And I'm saying it that way because, yes, we have some listeners on here that majority know they're Israel. But, again, this is replayed, right? And this
yes,
is for
absolutely.
Those that may hear this broadcast after the fact, okay, and come across it in one form or another, okay, and are confused. So we're going to unconfuse you right now, okay? So read yours, Kat, please, Deuteronomy 14 and 2. Here's what you need to understand, you blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, who are the true Jews, who are the Israelites according to the Bible.
Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth.
Okay, read it again, and I want you to emphasize the one word. You know where I want you to emphasize.
For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people.
A peculiar people. Homosexuality has been around since the beginning of time.
Right.
For thousands of years. Okay? And the Most High God created the Israelites to be a peculiar people. In other verses, he calls us a peculiar treasure. What is considered normal, okay? Homosexuality, idolatry, all that stuff is not biblical. Okay? For, I ain't finished with the statement, for the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. We have our own set of rules that the Most High God implemented from the beginning. He already knew, right? When you read Isaiah 46 and 10, declared the end from the beginning, right? So he knew there was going to be a large amount of people that were going to accept this wickedness of homosexuality. So Moses had to make a distinction because guess what? That was going on in Egypt. So when we came out of Egypt, he had him. This is one of the things he had to make a distinction. You are a peculiar people. Now that you're out of slavery, out of living amongst the heathen, okay, people are going to look at you weird.
Right.
Okay, as you being peculiar. All right? So be ready for that. Okay? And then he also, Isaiah in the spirit, read yours, said be ready for this.
The book of Isaiah 1 verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant.
A very small remnant of the children of Israel, who today are the repented Israelites. Repented Israelites. Go ahead.
We should have been as Sodom, and we have shouldn't have been like unto Gomorrah.
Why did he use that analogy of Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodomy, the word sodomy comes from Sodom, right. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was nothing but evil homosexuality. In fact, when you read the history, those that have never read the history or have read it but have not had the understanding, I'm going to give you the understanding now. There were homosexual spirits in Sodom and Gomorrah. Right. There were whoremonger spirits in Sodom and Gomorrah, so much to the point that they even wanted to rape the angels that came to let Lot know that those two cities were going to be destroyed. That's how that burning lust was in them. Right. Lot and his family were peculiar to everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah. Right now, you repented Israelites, you are peculiar to everyone in the world. Right. Because we are against that. Why? Because the Most High is against that. And it's stated in the Bible. Don't ever lose the fact that we are peculiar. Let your children know you're peculiar, but in a great way. Let's read 14 and 2 again, please, because this is what we got to let our children know. For now, I'm going to flip to those that are repented already that have children, because it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a struggle, right? Because they're amongst everything. And don't rest assured, they're going to start pushing this Sodom agenda more and more in the schools. They're teaching fellatio to kids in some schools. Goodness. At a young age. Are you kidding me? Read that again, please, Captain.
Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God.
You are an holy people. You're sanctified. You repented, Israelites. Go ahead.
And the Lord had chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself.
Peculiar people unto himself. Everything in this Bible is from the Most High God. Guess what? You know why people hate him? Why people? Because he's peculiar. Because he's different from what the normal things are. Because he says you could not go ahead and sleep man with man, woman with woman. You could not go ahead and work on the Sabbath days. Okay? That's all peculiar. You should not be reveling, hanging out in clubs, getting drunk. That's peculiar to the norm because you're supposed to do those things according to society.
Right. Because the definition of peculiar is strange or odd.
Stranger eyes.
So it's odd when you don't want to go out and get turned up on a Friday night.
Right. So guess what? Parents, tell your kids, yes, you are peculiar, but you're also rich. You're God's chosen. Don't worry about what the other kids are doing in the school. Don't worry about what they're trying to teach you because it's against the Bible and show them in the scriptures. It is our job to make them feel good. This is not it. Trust me, it's not easy for adults, but we're able to control ourselves, right? Right. Imagine kids that are still trying to feel themselves. They're impressionable at young ages. They're seeing all these other kids doing stuff. That conversation when those your kids come home should be like, you know what, such and such did this, and I didn't feel good about that. Okay? Instead of coming home and expounding upon it how great it was. All right? Let them know, parents, you are peculiar. The Bible says, and that is fine. That is phenomenal. You are different.
All praises. So I want to touch on this here with the peer group thing. I want to read two paragraphs from this, and then we're going to look at a little table here that I put up. And, you know, this is a little dated, this book. This is like probably the early 2000s. I'm sure it might be worth the revisions just to see what they say about transgender now and homosexuality becoming much more normal. I'm pretty sure they would mention it in there. Like, they're making a big push in a lot of school curriculums to basically denote that anybody who's done something that's historic enough to be mentioned to also mention who they prefer to screw.
Right. Wow.
I don't see how that has any type of relevance, but it's the one with peer group
Ashaya, and the high school popularity thing. So the peer group thing I'm going to read first. And it says, ask 13-year-olds who matter most in their lives, and they are likely to answer friends. As a child grows older, the family becomes somewhat less important in social development. Instead, peer groups increasingly assume the role of Mead's significant others. So what Mead was basically proposing was that significant others, right? And this was where we got we couldn't find the term about the persuasion, but remember we said the 9 out of 10 dentists or whatever. Right. Oh, significant others, meaning somebody that's notable, because like if it's a toothpaste and I'm saying 9 out of 10 dentists recommend it, it's like, oh, okay, most dentists like that. But if it's toothpaste and I say 9 out of 10 basketball players recommend it, that's not significant. Right. Even though you might see the basketball players as idols and things like that, it's not significant because it's not relative to what you find important. They wouldn't be considered as a significant person to give their opinion on that.
Right.
So it says family becomes less important. And within the peer group, young people associate with others who are approximately their age and who often enjoy a similar social status. All right. So it lets you know that once they start getting to those teenage years, this is why, like when I was doing the parenting class, we spoke about how it says, but times, do it early, do it frequently, as far as supporting them with the scriptures and not enabling the sick behavior. Right. So what D-Wade should have done when his son at 3 was telling him, I think I'm a girl. He should have been making sure that from then until he was about to get to these peer groups, right? Because his son is 10, so he's right about to be in that age group where the peer group's going to mean more to him than the family. Mm-hmm. And then it does talk about gender differences a little bit. I'm going to jump down to the last paragraph in the verse here. And it says, gender differences are noteworthy among adolescents. Boys and girls are socialized by their parents. Mm-hmm. Boys and girls are socialized by their parents.
That's super heavy, man.
Mm-hmm. Peers and the media to identify many of the same paths to popularity, but to different degrees. So it's letting you know, right? So if the media and the peers that we're putting them in front of tell them that these type of behaviors are okay, then us as parents don't enable that. Don't give that authorization to let that social force influence them.
You know how that starts, Cap? The minute you see your son picking up a girl toy,
mm-hmm,
or putting on shoes that are your wife's,
high heels,
okay,
to put on lipstick,
you stop that and you explain to them, yeah, that is not. You stop
you're
it
right
there.
Right. Today's world, that's not what you.
No, that's from Q.
They're like, oh my gosh, he must be, because society's telling you don't correct them on it. What might have been just a little curiosity that he wanted to try mom's shoes or whatever, like you said, you stop it, you could, yeah, right, and you explain it to him. Now, if they keep doing it, you take whatever measures biblically. I'm not going to get into that on the air, whatever. The Bible tells you how to raise your kids and what to do, right? You deal with that accordingly.
The Bible, right?
Right. But instead, society tells you, right? So now, what happens? Since parents are socializing them, they go, oh, well, the media. And, you know, all my peer groups say that I should support this.
No, and that's heavy, too,
I should
because
enable this.
You're saying that it's the parents that do that, right? Prior to D-Wade becoming married to his wife that he's with now, that wasn't the actions of that. Look, this is when the whole Trayvon Martin thing went down.
Right.
And the magazine says, save our sons, D-Wade or Dwayne Wade and his son Zaire and Zion.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's them. He's older than 3 in this picture, by the way.
Yeah, what happened to Save Our Sons?
Right, that goes a lot. Save Our Sons, there's a lot in that. Okay, us as Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, Save Our Sons is a huge job that unfortunately a lot of parents do not want to take on. They're so caught up in their own BS, in their own lives, that they are letting the peer groups raise their children. Mm-hmm. It clearly says in that article that we socialize them. What does that mean? Let's put that in plain terms. We build them up to become a man and a woman, what they were born to be. That's what it means. You socialize them. Okay? You make them understand that society that you're seeing today is not biblical. That's socializing them.
Yep.
Right. And so now the table references, right, it says it compares male and female college students, even in college, so it's not just at teenagers, that's why I say the peer groups permeate, male and female college students,
reports how Girls and Boys They Knew became popular in high school. The two groups named many of the same paths to popularity, but gave them different order of importance. And like I said, so this table might be a little dated. You see the table here. And it shows you the difference, right? Physical attractiveness, participation in sports, general sociability, a car. Look, so when you get to college, now it's a car. You know, participation in sports, general sociability, popularity with girls. So these are different things. I mean, the lack of substance, this is what peer groups are doing. And now if you were to update it, it would include – things like that.
Yep.
Right. It would include, oh, you know, because under general sociability and things like that, that falls under being able to not be in variance with what the norm is.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. Kids are so driven by wanting to be popular and display these popular behaviors. And that's why I say the school system, it's a tough one for us. And then the peer groups fall into that because that's where they meet their peer groups. See, what's great about the truth is that we can kind of regulate that to an extent, the peer groups, right? Because we try to keep them around like-minded individuals when it comes to that stuff. But at some point, they're going to be out, right? Out the home and out in the world. And how we socialize them is going to help them to act upon these social forces. But the point that I'm making is that what falls under this and what's important to them is that popularity, that other stuff. But just think about it. A lot of that stems from them not feeling like they're great. This is how the scriptures as a foundation. Remember, I did a class on what's so great a nation. This is why it's so important, right? Part a lot of the parenting, there was a big section where I was talking about teaching them their history and their identity so that they can have a pride in that. Because remember, in the time of the Maccabees, they worshiped that, right? And they wanted to be more like the Greeks than that, like of their fathers.
Right.
It's the same effect. So it's, you know, a part of him, he was in the spirit when he was talking about that thing with homosexuality and whatever. It's been there for forever, right? It's been there as an ancient thing. And I'm focusing on that because that's what's modern in the news. But the table show you the other type of things that's not going to lead them to any type of salvation. What makes them popular and being popular, you know, listen, if anything, you got to stand up boldly like we read, right? So you got to be against that popularity. Mm-hmm. That's not something that you should – what you should be focused on is obtaining salvation and getting the approval of the Lord, right? Study to show thyself to prove unto God, like it tells you in Timothy's. So the peer group is such a strong force on our people, and it's something that permeates for a long time. You can't fall for this deception, this war of ignorance – that our people call peace. We got to be mindful of that. Any closing thoughts as we wrap up here?
Yeah. We as parents, and we trust me, I know it's hard. We have our lives. We have jobs. Both parents in a lot of homes are working. Some are just single parents. They're not around. You have to always be mindful. My radar is always up on my kids. Always. See kids, my son standing a certain way, I make sure I correct it. Stand straight. I tell him. All right. Keep going or?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
You can wrap up.
Yeah. All right. If you see your daughter's acting too much like a boy, you got to stop it. Okay. Hey. All right. That's boys do that. Okay. You tell your boys, hey, girls do that. Hey, that's a girl toy. Okay. The other day, Gammy had the crimpler. Mm-hmm. I told him the other morning. I said, nope, you don't play with that. Okay, that's for girls. Because you know what? You may say, oh, but it's just a toy. No, it's a toy that is designed for girls. Mm-hmm. Okay, that crimpler is for women. Okay, you got to let them know now. Because if you don't, as they get older, they start seeing mommy's crimpler. And then they start experimenting with it. No, you let them know from the beginning. You have to have your radar up with your children. You know what? Parenting is hard. It is. And we never had the blueprint until now. The Bible's the blueprint on how to go ahead and parent. So there's no excuse anymore, Blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, who are the Israelites. You have the blueprints right here. We have many classes on parenting. Okay? And guess what? No matter how many years you're in this, it's good to go back and look at those things. You refresh your mind. All right? That's all I got.
All right. So that's the show. Allah's Will be on next.